Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Direct provision is set to end and be replaced with what the government is terming an international protection system over the next 4 years. A new two-phased approach is set out in a white paper published this morning. Well, we'll hear reaction in a moment. But first, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been to the Glenveragh Direct Provision Centre in Cork City this morning to hear what residents there make of this announcement.
I'm so happy, like, you know, before these people very upset, like, you know, the people living 5 years, 6 years in direct provision centre and no have a life, like, people go to too much depression and stress. So this good thing, this is good news for us. The direct provision is finished and people want for himself life for starting, you know.
How has it changed you as a person?
My all feelings, like, you know, this finish every day more stress, like, is not happy in the drug provision centre, like, you know.
So today is a good day, but obviously you have lots of questions, I would imagine, as to how this new system will work.
The government say this life is finished, you know, for the drug provision centre, but I don't know for the people living in Zlong in drug provision.
For the people already in the system, like you, obviously you have concerns.
Oh yeah, the people is happy if the government start for the plan and, you know, they finish for the direct provision and the government give the people for houses, like, you know. Oh yeah, the people is happy, you know. People want for the start for the new life, like, you know.
The news, direct provision is to finish. Good news?
It's a good news, you know. It's a good news for asylum seekers. Yeah, it's a good news. This system is not easy, you know. Like, people, they're here, like, some people, they're here 6 years, 5 years, 7 years, they're still, I don't know.
How many years are you in the system?
I'm going for 6 years now, you know.
6 years.
Like, for people who stay a long time, I don't know what is going to happen with them, you know. There's some people who stay here 6 years, 7 years, 5 years, you know, and they don't even have working permit, you know, like, just sleeping, they're not doing anything.
It's been difficult the last few months, I'd imagine, with COVID.
Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, you can't go anywhere. There's lockdown. You can't see your friends. So it's not easy anyway.
Listen, thanks for talking to me.
Residents in direct provision in Cork City there talking to Brian O'Connell. Well, I've also been speaking to Ola Mustafa, who's founder of the Ballyhaunis Inclusion Project. Ola has been living in direct provision with her three children for nearly 7 years. She told me first what she makes of the government's target of closing direct provision by the end of 2024.
I don't see that happening, to be honest. I was playing the devil's advocate initially, but looking at what was released today, I don't see how plausible that is. I don't have faith in what was published today. If the mindset is still on, we're building this place specifically for asylum seekers, and it's still going to be like a congregational and segregational setting, I don't see how this is happening anytime soon. We're still going to maintain the same system, and that's how it's going to be.
Well, let's take a look at the plan, because the first phase is for this four-month period once people arrive. Accommodation will be provided in reception and integration centres. What do you make of that?
To be honest, I've always said you can't come into a new space and expect to be able to navigate your way through the system all at once. So the temporary stay in the reception areas is a welcome development for me personally. I'm not speaking the mind of everybody now, but a temporary stay in the reception area would be a welcome development, at least to serve as an orientation ground for people who are coming into the country newly. So you'd have time to get your PPS number, get your PPS card, and do all the vulnerability assessment and all that, and then they can be transferred to a permanent space where they would wait for an outcome on their cases.
And then one of the other important factors in this plan is that the centres will be in state ownership and they'll be operated on a not-for-profit basis, and that's something that you had hoped for.
Exactly, yes. At the end of the day, somebody who invested so much in a private business would always want to make profit. So there would always be people cutting corners just to, you know, ensure that their profit margin is not affected. So if government is in charge of handling the affairs of accommodation, I think that would be that would be a welcome development, and then we can hold them responsible if anything goes wrong.
And then there'll also be specific supports for people who have additional needs, or people who are fleeing violence, sexual violence, or LGBTQI or disabled. I'm sure if that happens, that's something that you would also welcome.
Of course, of course. That would be a welcome development. I think the vulnerability assessment has been something that has been proposed in the last couple of years, but I have not seen a lot of people who have availed of such opportunity. Myself, I was transferred to Ballyhonis without any form of support whatsoever. And I started getting support from Mayo Rape Crisis Centre here when I got to Ballyhonis in Mayo.
Once the 4 months are up in the reception centre, the plan then is to move people to their own door accommodation. How do you feel about that? Do you think that that is something that will be a good development, or are you concerned that there will still be segregation?
There will still be segregation. If you're saying we are building this space specifically for asylum seekers, that's not what we want. That's what we are fighting over. I live here in the old convent in Ballyhonis. Everybody knows where the centre is. So when you're downtown, people already know, oh, it's the girl from the refugee camp. It's the girl from the refugee camp. That's what we are fighting against. So if you're building houses specifically for asylum seekers, it's still the same thing. They're still being segregated. It doesn't matter if I'm opening the door to my own flat or cooking in my own private kitchen and all that. It's still going to be the same thing.
You've been in direct provision for nearly 7 years now, 6 years and 7 months, and you have three children there with you. How are they doing? How are you all doing?
Oh, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't know. I put out a tweet, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and asking the Minister for Justice to grant me a residency and how tired I am of this system. The awkward part is I wasn't allowed to work all the while. And as a result of that tweet, I was granted the right to access a labor market. Why does it have to come to when people threaten to take their own lives or threaten violence or when they are depressed that government would consider them human? And I've said this multiple times, that until government starts seeing, placing faces on that ID numbers in the Department of Justice, I don't think we'll be treated as humans. They need to understand that for every action that they take, it impacts our lives.
Well, Ola, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
That was Ola Mustafa, who is still living in direct provision after nearly 7 years. And Ola is the founder of the Ballyhonis Inclusion Project. And I'm joined now by Fiona Finn, Chief Executive of NASC Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre. Good morning, Fiona. You're very welcome to the programme. And I'm sure this is welcome news overall. But you did hear Ola's scepticism there about the target of 2024 and her concerns that we'll still end up with a system where people are segregated off from the rest of society.
We absolutely wholeheartedly welcome this white paper, and I think it's absolutely transformative. I understand where Ola is coming from, but I also did hear from Ola and from the other two people, the other two asylum seekers on the call, that they all welcomed it. And I know there are concerns, and it's not perfect because no system is perfect. But I think the key thing here in the report is that after the initial 4 months stay in a direct provision, in a new reception centre, that the housing would be in the community. So there's nothing in the report that says these housing, the housing units are going to be in congregated settings. So, I mean, our reading of the report is that it is community-based living for people. And I know the 2024 seems like a long way off. But, I mean, the reform process, you know, starts from 2021 and incrementally, because the government is now planning on embarking on a very large programme of acquisition and building a kind of a permanent stock of proper housing for protection applicants. That as, you know, as we move through 2021, 22, 23, that we'll see people moving out of the current system and moving into these new accommodations.
Yeah, I'm just interested to know, and I know you had a briefing with the minister last night. I just wonder how realistic a target you feel that is, given the housing supply problems that we know exist.
I think it's ambitious. I think we need to be ambitious in this. I mean, essentially, we're looking at providing housing for 3,500 people. Now, that's not 3,500 units, and that's housing that will be that's housing that will be delivered throughout the country, in every town and every city in the country. And I think we have to be ambitious here. Without that level of ambition, I think there's a risk that there will be slippage. And I think, I know absolutely there is a current housing crisis there, but when we're looking at the provision of housing for protection applicants, I mean, this is how, like, once the housing stock has been established, there is no need to renew that stock. So you have your initial stock of housing, and people will move through that system once their application has been processed, and if it's processed successfully, move out of it, and then you'll have other protection applicants coming through and moving through the system.
There's also the question, Fiona, of how the legacy issues are dealt with here, because we know that people have been waiting for years for a decision to be made on whether they can stay in Ireland or not. And all of these things will have to be worked through.
Absolutely, Claire. I completely agree with you. I think that's the one aspect or element of the report that is really disappointing. And I think if we look at the report and the language that's used from Minister O'Gorman's department, it's very open and it's very inclusive. And the report speaks to and not at protection applicants. But there's very little in there from the Department of Justice. There's very little detail on how they're going to deal with the current backlog, because at the moment we're looking at application processing times now of 20 months, which is quite extraordinary. I mean, we were a member of the Day Advisory Group, and we had very, very, very clear recommendations in there as to, A, how the international protection process should be reformed to prevent future backlogs. None of those have been taken on by the department. And secondly, how the backlog can be dealt with. And there was a very clear recommendation in there that a case processing program starts looking at people who have been in the system for 2 years or more with a view to granting them a permission to remain. Okay. And I think unless we do that, unless we deal with the legacy issues, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to move into a new system and to have to create a system with the level of ambition that we welcome that's in the current report. So I do think that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed urgently.
Fiona Finn, thank you for joining us on the programme from the Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre. Coming up, we're going to be finding out why business is booming for divorce lawyers.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.